You're listening to Clinical Conversations, a Journal Watch podcast formerly known as Admitting Diagnosis, for the week of April 10th. I'm Joe Elia. Call us at 1-617-440-4374 with your reactions. This should not be a one-way clinical conversation. We'll take a quick look at the week's news and then launch into an interview. This week, we talk with Dr. Robert Wise of Johns Hopkins about proton pump inhibitors and asthma control. The news first. In terms of relevance, I guess you've got to award the week's top story to the one we're doing an interview on in a few moments. The bottom line is that PPIs don't make sense in asthma treatment unless the patient has got gastroesophageal reflux. Details to come. Also making news was a brace of articles about brown fat from NEJM, which I'll confess I haven't read, so I won't report on them. But if one of you would like to file a brief, call 617-440-4374, and I'll use it next week. Next, if anyone thought they could exercise their way out of heart failure, the news in that regard isn't good. However slight the clinical effect of an exercise regimen on outcomes is, the patients do report feeling better. And who can argue with that? Next, hey, I thought you were supposed to be screening apparently healthy older people for colorectal cancer. Apparently, that's not happening, according to a study in Annals of Internal Medicine. Instead, the very people who are supposed to not get screening, people with a low life expectancy, are getting screened at roughly the same rate, under 50%, as those with longer life expectancies. It's low life expectancy that should prompt screening holidays among the elderly, and not age alone. Finally, pulmonary hypertension used to be thought of as rare, and I guess it is, relatively speaking. However, when you encounter it, you're going to need these guidelines that were just published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. The guidelines, really more of a huge review article, say that an echocardiogram is the most appropriate study to evaluate patients with suspected pulmonary hypertension. The diagnosis requires confirmation with a complete right heart catheterization. Now on to the interview. It's always interesting when clinical guidelines get called into question. That happened this week when the American Lung Association's Asthma Clinical Research Centers published results in the New England Journal of Medicine that questioned recommendations that asthma patients with poorly controlled disease be placed on proton pump inhibitors. The National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute's guidelines suggest, among other treatments, use of PPIs, especially in those with nighttime symptoms. The researchers randomized about 400 patients with poor control, but with minimal or no symptoms of gastroesophageal reflux, to esomeprazole twice daily or placebo. After about 6 months, episodes of poor asthma control had occurred about equally as often with esomeprazole as with placebo. This, despite the fact that gastroesophageal reflux was documented in more than a third of the study group. Dr. Robert Wise, a member of the writing committee for the report, has kindly agreed to discuss the work with us. Dr. Wise is a professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins and directs the coordinating center of the American Lung Association's Asthma Clinical Research Centers. Thank you for agreeing to talk with us, Dr. Wise.
It's a pleasure.
Well, how common is it for people to prescribe PPIs in asthma?
We don't have exact figures on it, but we have done surveys, and amongst the clinical centers, the 20 clinical centers who were involved in this study, the proportion of patients who were receiving these drugs varied from 15% all the way up to 65%. So overall, we think that it's about one out of three patients with poorly controlled asthma are prescribed proton pump inhibitors.
So that's some million or so people, at least.
We estimate that it may be as many as 3 or 4 million people.
So are those guidelines likely to change now? That do you consider these results, or more importantly, do you think that others will consider your results definitive and change those guidelines?
Well, the guidelines actually recommend that people be evaluated for gastroesophageal reflux, and then if it's present, that it ought to be treated. The evaluation for gastroesophageal reflux usually involves either a pH probe monitor or it involves testing whether a person improves on the drug. So we believe that the that based on these results, it's no longer necessary to evaluate people for the presence of silent reflux if they don't have symptoms that suggest it, such as the cardinal symptom of heartburn.
I see. So that evaluation itself is quite expensive, isn't it?
That's right. That can cost up to $2,000 in some centers for that test. And it involves, it's a safe test, but it involves having a wire inserted through the nose into the esophagus and leaving that in for 24 hours.
But these drugs, the PPIs, work for some asthma patients, don't they?
They work very well for control of heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
However, whether they're effective or not for patients with asthma who have heartburn is, I think, still an open question. The studies so far have shown that one aspect of asthma control or another might be benefited in patients who have heartburn and asthma, but they haven't been entirely consistent. And that's why I think it's still an open question. But however, in patients who have heartburn and asthma, there's still a very clear indication for these drugs for the control of heartburn if other measures don't help.
So if nothing else, they help the asthma patient's quality of life not to be suffering heartburn as well as asthma.
That's right. The problem is that it's very easy to confuse symptoms of heartburn with symptoms of reflux, and those symptoms can be a sensation of discomfort in the chest or coughing, which can be caused either by reflux or by asthma.
Now, there's a similar study underway in children, and I saw you quoted somewhere as saying that, well, children are not miniature adults. Can you tell us anything about that study?
Yes, this is a study that's being done in children from the age of 6 up to the age of 18, adolescents. It's going to be very similar to the study that we just published in its formulation. However, the population will be children, and we're going to be using a formulation of proton pump inhibitor that is considered safe for children.
I see. Because you used a rather healthy dose of esomeprazole in the adults, didn't you? It's 40 milligrams twice a day. Was that right?
Precisely. We used a dose which is larger than that which is typically prescribed for the relief of heartburn symptoms. And the reason we did this is because studies have shown that a dose of 40 milligrams once a day suppresses acid production in about 75% of asthmatics, but twice a day it's over 90%. So we wanted to make sure that if we were going to do the study, that we were able to not be criticized for not completely suppressing the acid production.
Let me ask you, what might clinicians do differently right away with these results in hand?
Well, I think that what this means is that if a clinician is faced with a patient with asthma where it doesn't seem to be well controlled on their current asthma medication program, it's probably not worth the time or expense or inconvenience to the patient to pursue a diagnosis of gastroesophageal reflux or to prescribe medication for it without an indication such as heartburn. So by doing that, I think it can save physicians time, and they can look for other causes of poorly controlled asthma, such as concomitant sinusitis, such as exposure to an antigen or allergen in the environment that may be somewhat hidden. They also need to look at a patient's adherence pattern and possibly even look at whether the drugs are being prescribed in the optimal dose.
So the message is don't go looking for gastroesophageal reflux if the patient isn't complaining about it.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you again, Dr. Wise, for your time with us today.
Oh, it's a great pleasure, and thank you for inviting me.
Finally, this week, Dr. Wise wanted me to give a shout-out to the American Lung Association, which sponsored the work we discussed today. If you're the American Lung Association, consider yourself shouted to. You sponsored some interesting and practical stuff. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adoriano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next week. Enough said.